Hello and welcome to Savor, production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we're talking about radishes.
Radishes.
Radishes, radishes.
Is also a very fun word to say.
It is. I relish saying radish.
I relish radish. So this one was kind of inspired by, I have been doing a CSA from a local establishment here in Atlanta called 8 Arm. Like a lot of restaurants that are closed, they pivoted to doing a CSA every week where you can get produce from local farmers, all kinds of things. And I love it. I love it. It's so exciting. I love trying to figure out. Lauren's gotten some text from me.
what is this
herb? I don't know. And then I have to figure out how to cook with it. And it's really exciting. It's been good for me in a lot of ways. I do love cooking and I love trying new recipes. And if you follow me or Savor on social, I have posted about it a few times. But anyway, recently, one of the ingredients I've been getting is radishes. And that's, I don't think I'd ever cooked with radishes before. I'd had them raw, but...
Sure, like in a salad or something, but you'd never... Right.
Right. And it turns out I love them, and I love cooking with them, and I'm trying to grow some now because I've definitely become a person that's everything I once would have thrown away. I'm like, maybe I could grow this. The internet tells me I won't be able to, because I am in a small space, I probably won't be able to get the radish, but I can grow the greens. And it looks pretty good. It looks pretty good out there.
Well, hey, awesome. And radish greens are delicious too.
Yeah, so that's the recipe I've been doing is I just saute the radish and the radish greens, a little bit of butter, a little lemon, and it's so good. It's so simple. It's so good.
Oh, yeah. I love a radish. I've liked them raw as a snack since I was a teen or so. I think the first time that I ever really, like, noticed the potential of radishes was when a friend of mine, a cook and bartender by the name of Daryl, prepared this radish butter for a, like, friend family dinner. And it's just butter and, like, fine diced radish and salt and pepper, and it's transcendent. You squeeze a bunch of the water out of the diced radish first, just blend it all together. Transcendent. Spread it on toast. It's amazing. It's just so nice.
That sounds wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, I know what, if I get radishes again this week, I know where they're going.
Yeah.
Yes. I had some a couple nights ago, and one of them, the most peppery, like, burning sensation. It was a delight. It was a delight. And I have my random fandom pop culture reference because it wouldn't be an episode of Savor if I didn't bring up something completely unrelated and useless. And it's from one of my go-to comfort movies, Kung Fu Panda. Yeah.
Aw.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen it, Kung Fu Panda Po, he is adopted, and his father, who's a goose, of course, found him in a crate of radishes. And it's a really sweet story. And in the second one, when Po is trying to, you know, to find out who he is, he has a nightmare that there's like this radish kung fu warrior he has to fight, and he's better. The radish is better at kung fu. And it's really well animated. It's really cool.
I have not seen Kung Fu Panda, but I love your note that that his father is the goose. Of course, that was. I'm like, yeah, sure, okay.
Well, it's a joke because Po doesn't realize until, I don't know, way far in that he's adopted. Oh. That he's not his actual dad.
Okay. All right. I get it. But yes, add it to the list. Definitely.
To our Savor watch list. Yes. All right. But in the meantime, let's get to our question.
Mm-hmm.
Radishes. What are they?
Well, radishes are a crispy, crunchy, slightly juicy root vegetable with a spicy kick, sort of like a underground fire apple. Botanical name, Raphanus sativus. Sativus meaning cultivated. You may have noticed it's the species name of a whole lot of plants that we talk about. And you might recognize that bite of heat in radishes because they're a member of the Brassicaceae family, along with things like turnips, mustard, arugula, and wasabi. So when you plant a radish seed, it grows some leafy greens, maybe 2 or 3 feet high, up to a meter, and pretty quickly starts to develop a tuber underground or a taproot along with its true root system. The roots and the leaves take in raw growth materials, and the tuber stores them up, water and sugar and stuff, in preparation for surviving either dry summers or lean winters, and then growing flowers and seeds later on. Like other Brassicaceae plants, radishes even produce a few compounds that are irritants to a lot of mammals and insects and even microbes to help prevent anyone from eating that taproot before they get a chance to flower. But suckers, humans decided that we like those irritants, so... So we harvest them and eat them. Depending on the variety of radish, the skin of that taproot might range in color from red to pink to white to green to purple to black. And the interior flesh may range from white to green to pink. They can be quite small. Some of them are just itty-bitty when they're harvested, like the size of your pinky joint, or really quite large. Daikon radishes can grow 2 feet or longer. That's at least 2/3 of a meter. Small radishes can go from seed to food in like a month. Big ones might take a few months. And daikon, by the way, literally means daikon, big root in Japanese. And prior to the influx of English loanwords in Japanese, small red radishes were supposedly called 20-day daikons because that's how long they took to grow.
Oh, wow.
I love that.
Yeah.
So radishes in shape can be round or cylindrical or kind of weirdly bulbous. I mean, we can't tell them what to do. And in the United States, the kind that you find most often and probably what you've been getting in your CSAs are sort of reddish or pinkish and round and the size of anything from like a cherry to a ping pong ball, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of them are a little itty bitty.
Oh, yeah. I like them.
Mm-hmm. They're so cute.
The whole plant can be used, though. The true roots and the tuber root and the shoots and the greens and the seed pods can be used raw or cooked. The seeds can be used for oil. The flowers are a lovely, edible, slightly spicy garnish. The leaves and flowers look a lot like arugula because they're related. Also, like arugula, it's considered basically a weed once it escapes gardens via seed spread. It'll just grow anywhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. All parts of radish plants do have a little bit of that kick, though how much kick will depend on the variety and the specific plant in question, you know. They can be mild and sort of sweet, or they can really sneak up on you. I love finding that one radish in a bunch that's just like, okay, that's what we're doing.
That's what happened to me the other day. I had never had the sensation to that degree in my life. And it kind of went on for a while, and I said, uh-oh.
Yeah, yeah, it's very much like taking a hit of wasabi and just being like, all right, I forgot, and there it is. Mm-hmm.
Gonna ride this out. radishes are eaten all kinds of ways, pickled, shredded, salted, sautéed, stir-fried, roasted, spiralized, raw with beer, in salads and soups, in tacos, risotto, on sandwiches, endless.
Endless, yes, yes, a grated raw as a condiment is a popular one in Japan.
Mm-hmm. And what about the nutrition?
Well, it's going to depend a little bit based on the type of radish you're talking about specifically. But in general, radishes are super low in calories and fat. They've got a good punch of dietary fiber, a really good smattering of vitamins and minerals, particularly vitamin C. They will help fill you up and will add a lot of flavor for a low caloric buy-in. But you definitely need to pair them with fats and proteins to help keep you going. And those kind of burny-tasting compounds, those are glucosinolates. And they're being investigated for a number of potentially helpful properties. In studies, radishes and or radish extracts have been shown to have anti-cancer, anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, cholesterol-lowering, and anti-diabetic effects. Bodies are complicated. More research is needed. Consult a doctor before adding a medicinal quality of anything to your diet. But certainly, if you like radishes, eat them.
Agreed. You know, every time I hear we talk about glucosinolates, I always think back to our very second episode, cauliflower.
Yeah.
Because of course, we were like, let's start with sparkling wine. Our boss said, what next? Cauliflower.
It's the two sexiest of foods.
It was like a 2-hour original cut. That was back when I was the editor, and my boss said, you might want to whittle that down a little bit.
Look, we had a lot of fascinating things to say about cauliflower, and I stand by that.
I do, too. Maybe one day, it's probably gone. It'd be so funny if we had, like, a director's cut of the Lost Saber cauliflower episode.
Oof. Oof, I say.
Oof, indeed. Speaking of oof, numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Japan's Ministry of Health, Labor, and Welfare named the daikon radish as Japan's most popular vegetable.
And the heaviest radish in the Guinness records is from Japan, from 2003. It weighed 31.1 kilos, that's 68 pounds, 9 ounces, and was 119 centimeters around. That's almost 4 feet around.
Whoa.
I know, I love it.
Wow.
It was presented at the annual Sakurajima Radish Contest, Sakurajima being this former island, now a peninsula, where the largest variety of daikon radish, sometimes called Sakurajimas, where it was originally cultivated. And apparently, yeah, there's a yearly contest, and they're gigantic, and I'm so taken with this entire idea.
I am too. That's fantastic.
Right? Oh, gosh. Meanwhile, the record for the longest radish is from the United Kingdom from 2017. It measured 6.7 meters. That's 21 feet and 11 inches.
Wow.
And it was presented at the UK National Giant Vegetable Championships, which I'm pretty sure we've mentioned before, but either way, gosh, I need to go to there.
That, yes, that sounds amazing. That sounds so amazing.
Oh.
Yes.
So much.
One day. And then there's this, something else I really want to check out. Apparently in Oaxaca, Mexico, folks carve radishes around Christmas time. I looked up pictures. It's amazing.
Oh, it's spectacular.
If you've been or you've done it, have pictures, oh, please write in. Please write in. From what I read, it got started as a way for shops to entice shoppers into stores after Christmas services. And one blogger who wrote about it, her experience covering it, said spectators waited in line for hours to view the carved radishes for miles long.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, and the whole thing only lasts a few hours because it's really only as long as these carved radishes stay, like, unwilted and unbrowned. So it's not like a multi-day. It's just that night.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's December 23rd. It is the night of the radishes. Noche de los Rabanos.
Oh, my gosh. I love that so much.
Love it.
No, okay. Speaking of deep cuts, we need to bring back the Dunker, which longtime listeners will know this is our serialized cartoon about a donut who is a police officer detective.
Right. Yes.
I think we need a character in there called Knight of the Radishes, but with a K.
Okay. Yeah. I can't argue with your logic at all. Yeah, I'm super into that.
Perfect. I'll get started right away. I'll draw up some character designs.
Excellent.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. We actually do have images of these. I could probably post them on social.
Oh, yeah. And Annie in stunning crayon, coloring pencil.
Mm-hmm.
Crayon. Yeah. Has created depictions of these characters. So.
Yes. They are works of art. They belong in museums. So, yes. I'm not overselling it at all. Your
no, 0%
will be completely met.
100, absolutely. Yeah.
Something else cool. NASA has experimented with growing radishes in space.
Because they grow so quickly, radishes are good for a number of experiments, and including home garden experiments. They're, like I said, like they're kind of weeds. Like you can, like most humans who try to grow radishes succeed in growing radishes. So,
we shall see.
Oh.
I'm not doing it from the seed, though.
Yeah.
We'll see.
might be harder that way. I'm eager to see what you come up with. But in the meanwhile, we do have some history for you. But first, we've got a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So, historians think radishes originated in China or the Mediterranean way back, like prehistoric times. Records indicate that radishes were a thing in ancient Egypt as far back as 2700 BCE. And this is also when Chinese texts started mentioning them, too.
I have seen both China and the Mediterranean, but one of the clues that point towards the modern-day China theory is that wild radishes that are believed to be, like, related to, like, ancestors, distant cousins of the domesticated varieties are found in southern Asia. So, yeah, but who knows? Mystery's history.
You know what we say. Mystery's history. Ancient Greeks loved radishes enough so that replicas were made of them out of gold. I want that.
I love that. And that reminds me of Luna Lovegood's radish earrings.
Yes, Lauren. Thank you. I do love those. Those are pretty fantastic too.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple Greek works, including those of Galen, Pliny, who wrote Democritus, thinks that as a food, radishes are aphrodisiac.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. Theophrastus and Dioscorides, they mentioned the crop during the 3rd century BCE, and one Greek physician authored a whole book on them. Writings out of ancient Rome described multiple types of radishes. The ancient Greeks and Romans may have eaten them with vinegar and honey. Seems like they did that with a lot of food.
Sure, it's a good combination. Also a good, like, start to a pickle. We get the English word radish from the Latin term from the plant, going back to those ancient Roman times. Radicum, I believe, which itself comes from a Proto-Indo-European root for root.
Aha. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You get that etymology show one day, Lauren.
No, I want it so bad.
Oh. If we look back, even before the Middle Ages, sailors ate radishes to combat scurvy.
Good way to do it.
Yep. And that wasn't their only perceived medicinal use. Monks thought that radishes could cure all kinds of things, from gallbladder problems to rheumatism to bronchitis. Also, yes, aphrodisiac. Records of large radishes popped up in England and Northern Europe in the 13th century, while the smaller variety wasn't really documented until the 16th century. In 1544, one German botanist detailed radishes weighing up to 100 pounds.
Oof.
By 1586, at least, radishes were common in England. Around this time, Swiss physician and botanist Otto Brunfels wrote, "The radish is also said to encourage unchastity."
Unchastity.
Unchastity is a fun word.
That's a great word.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, the radish was largely perceived as a symbol of strife and conflict during the Middle Ages, to the point that they were sometimes consecrated to control the evil spirits.
I have never once seen this in a horror movie, and I am so upset.
I know. What are we doing?
Demonology-related horror filmmakers. I have some phone calls to make after this.
Yes. Use your connections. Yeah. Use your connections.
Oh,
can you imagine like a slow zoom on just a radish and like really intense music playing, ominous?
Yes. This is precise. And like monks chanting and like, oh,
the
man.
The flickering of the fire.
Yeah. Some kind of like pentagram, but like with, more radishy. I don't know.
Pentagram, but more radishy. Like it.
meanwhile, over in Japan around the same time-ish, daikon cultivation took root. I wrote that without meaning it, but I'm keeping it. sometime in the early 1400s or so.
Radishes, perhaps introduced by Columbus and those that followed closely after him, were known in Mexico by 1500 and in Haiti by 1565. By some accounts, and I hope this is true, a handful of the French aristocracy grew radishes and gave them noble names. But these names were dropped after the French Revolution.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. During Japan's Edo period, which is 1603 to 1868, people ate raw, grated daikon radish, believing it to be good for digestion.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that Christmas time radish carving thing? In 1897, the mayor of Oaxaca dubbed December 23rd the Night of the Radishes.
Possibly the idea for carving human figures out of radishes came from a varietal of like multi-pronged radishes that like sort of resembled people to begin with. Sort of like a ginseng or garlic root, or not garlic, a ginger root sometimes does. Diego Rivera painted such radishes in his 1947 work, The Temptations of St. Anthony. And yeah, that festival continues to this day. Oaxaca has a municipal land grant for growing radishes for this festival. As of 2017, 14 metric tons of radishes were harvested for the festival from that land, with some specimens weighing around 3 kilos, over like 6.5 pounds. And that year, 2017, 143 radish crafters displayed their carved works at the festival, including 82 kids.
It's really, really impressive. If you have not seen
beautiful.
It, look it up. That rabbit hole of the episode.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is what it is. Oh, yeah. The carvings can represent animals, real and imaginary, religious figures, historical figures, everyday people and activities, just about anything. It's beautiful.
It really is.
Meanwhile, in the 1980s, radishes featured heavily in Fraggle Rock.
They did?
They were pretty much like the main like ecosystem.
Radishes?
Of Fraggle Rock. Yeah, yeah. It was a food stuff. It was a trade item. It was used to make different cosmetics and stuff like that. Yeah, radishes everywhere.
I don't remember much at all about Fraggle Rock, except this feeling that I is very hard to describe, of both being very afraid but also very, like, happy. It's like it was, it's, afraid is too strong a word. It's like uncertain. I didn't know where this was going. And a part of me was nervous about it. And a part of me was like really excited about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, it was scary because there were so many way bigger creatures than the Fraggles that were always trying to like catch them. And it was like the Smurfs, but I was way more endeared of the Fraggles than I ever was of the Smurfs. The Smurfs were always pretty annoying, and the Fraggles were really sweet. So,
some strong words from Lauren Volkebaum.
Sorry, man. I was always sort of like, well, if Gilgamesh eats a few Smurfs, like, I can't say that I blame him.
Wow. Pro Smurf eating episode. Dear.
Sorry. Well, this took a turn. I tried very briefly to figure out why radishes were the thing in Fraggle Rock. I could not immediately find anything about it. Maybe we'll have to tap our resources and see if someone knows.
You mean not by resources or exceptionally nerdy office and coworkers? Is that what you're saying?
And like our friend Russ, who works for the Center of Puppetry Arts here in Atlanta. And
Okay, I see.
Yeah. You know, people who like have contact with the Jim Henson Company.
Yeah. Also them.
But also our nerdy coworkers.
I did. The last thing I did before quarantine was I went to that puppet festival in Canada.
Right.
So I got some connections now.
You do. Goodness.
Mm-hmm. I'll ask them this very important question and report back.
Thank you. Going back to that NASA thing, as of around 2005, radishes were one of the plants being actively investigated by NASA for potential use as a food crop for astronauts on longer missions in the future. Because like and actively investigated, because like, sure, they grow easily and they're nutritious, but there are a lot of factors in space that you have to account for, like different types of radiation than we get here on Earth, different compounds in the air. For example, astronauts use disinfectant wipes. We're all becoming more like astronauts, y'all.
Wow. Well, this yeah. plus.
Silver lining.
Yeah.
But yeah, those alcohol wipes that they use are infused with alcohol that evaporates into the spacecraft's air. And while the amount that ends up in that air is totally safe for humans, at like 10% of our allowable alcohol and air limit, a radish will wind up a lot smaller than usual. And at 25% of our limit, the plant will die. Yeah, there are just all kinds of considerations like that. So interesting stuff, cool research.
Radishes in space. Wow. Mm-hmm. There's a lot. If anyone is looking for an art project to undertake, this episode has been full of them because I could see like an astronaut with a big radish in the helmet.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we put it out there. We got a pentagram radish horror movie idea, all kinds of things. We got Knights of the Radishes. They're all up in the air for you.
yeah. Take them and run with them, y'all.
Yes. And if you do, please send us some pictures of it.
Please do.
We do have some listener mail for you.
We do. But first, we've got one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with
Listener
Mail. Like the radish from Kung Fu Panda.
Right. No, two. I totally followed you on that one. Right. Clearly.
Yes. I don't know how I could have been more clear with my karate chopping action I was making.
Yes. But she was, folks. She really was.
Yes. I got to get my podcaster workout in somehow. Yes. Philippe wrote, or maybe Philip, my family has been doing Easter egg tapping competitions since I was born. We are from the Republic of Macedonia, or the Republic of Northern Macedonia as of last year, though I was born in the U.S. I asked my dad, and he says they've been doing it there since at least when he was a kid, and his father, my grandfather, told stories about doing it in his childhood, too. So it's been a thing for quite some time. Apparently, traditionally, they would do it with red painted eggs, which is supposedly an old Greek tradition of some sort. Also, he just said, and I quote, "There are some old customs that we've lost and don't practice them anymore. Something about egg hung on a string, then the father dangling it like a pendulum in front of the kids and teasing the kids around the table to bite it." So that's pretty interesting. I actually like Easter solely because of the egg tapping. It was and still is my favorite part of the holiday. One time when I was maybe 9 or 10, I painted a certain egg, orange and yellow gradient, that somehow was inexplicably like 3 times as dense as an ordinary large egg. It destroyed every egg combatant it encountered without a single crack. It was probably the single strongest egg ever to be laid by a chicken. I actually saved the egg for years afterwards by sticking it in the back of the freezer since I couldn't bear to part with it. And also because it probably wasn't very safe or appetizing to eat, seeing as it was to ordinary eggs what the X-Men are to ordinary humans. But eventually, our fridge broke and my invincible egg was sadly thrown away.
Oh.
I like to think it's still out there, man.
The invincible egg. It lives on. It has to. It's invincible.
Exactly. You know? Out there doing X-Men things. Oh, that was a bad pun even for me, but I couldn't stop myself.
No.
I couldn't stop myself, Lauren. I'm so sorry.
I know you're not.
success.
Oh, my heck.
I kid you not, listeners. We have so many emails about this egg tapping. You're going to be hearing more of them. I love
it. Oh, it's beautiful.
It's fantastic.
This is so good. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Nina wrote, Of all the episodes I've thought about writing to you in regard to, I never would have guessed asparagus would be the one I couldn't resist. I grew up in the mountains of Colorado, and some of my favorite childhood memories were picking wild asparagus that grew in ditches on the side of the country roads. Oh my goodness. My brother and I would watch from the school bus for the first shoots to spring out of the grass and go back with our parents to pick what we saw and what was hidden in the weeds. Anything we would miss would leave a tall, dried-out stalk to look for next year, marking the sweet spots. The key to picking, as well as prepping to cook the store-bought varieties, is to start at the bottom of the stalk and attempt to snap it in half. If it bends instead of breaking, that bite would be stringy. Work your way up the stalk until it snaps, and eat from there up. You'll never have a bad bite. While picking green asparagus was a big part of my youth, white asparagus was my grandmother's childhood. She grew up in northern Italy, where it originated. According to deliciousitaly.com, the story of the vegetable is accidental. In the 1500s, Bassano was hit with a hailstorm destroying the asparagus crop, forcing the farmers to harvest the part underground. Upon tasting the asparagus, its white color due to the lack of sunlight, the farmer was astounded to find how tasty and tender it was and began to cultivate it underground. Asparagus tasting is almost a religion in Bassano. Everyone has something to say about the correct way to serve it. Family members always bring it back, pickled and canned in decorative glass vases when they travel there, along with plenty of grappa, of course. As much as I would have considered myself an expert on the topic, there is one thing your episode cleared up for me. I don't have the gene to smell it. I remember watching Austin Powers in Goldmember as a kid, and there's a joke referencing the asparagus urine smell that had my whole family in stitches. I giggled along, but never understood. And now I know I never will.
Nope. Never will.
Gosh.
But you've got plenty of other asparagus experience to make up for.
You do. You do. And, you know, maybe science will work on that for you.
Yes. So. Yes. Specifically for you. They've got nothing else important going on right now.
Zero. Zero. Yeah.
Let's hone in on this asparagus pea thing.
Boring days in science were had by all.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
I love the description of tasting it like it's a religion.
Yes. So much. This whole thing, we really need to get some white asparagus.
Absolutely do. It is extremely, extremely. I think we can do this.
I think we can. I believe in us.
I do too. But in the meantime, thanks to both of them for writing. If you would like to write to us, we would love to hear from you. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We are also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, where our handle is @SaverPod, and we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.